You're listening to another hope-filled podcast from Life. For more information about our church, visit lifenz.org.
Welcome to Business 101, our first one for 2017. Yay. Just want to take a moment to say good on you for being here, taking some time to invest in yourself, learning. I don't think you can ever go wrong with learning. So, yeah, well done for putting your hand up, for saying, I'd like to know more. I'd like to learn more and invest in yourself. So good on you. For those who maybe this is your first time, can I have maybe a show of hands if this is your first Business 101? Wow. Yeah, okay. So maybe a third. It's fantastic. Depending on the topic, it's been interesting. We've had things, 5 ways to increase profit for your business. We've had accounting for non-accountants. We're in the whole range of topics. And depending on where people feel they need some investment, they'll get a different crowd. So if you are interested in some of those previous sessions, they are on our website. So there's previous podcasts and PowerPoint slides there. So if you want to keep investing in yourself outside of this session, go to that, and with Brent's permission, we'll put his slides up and audio as well, so you can share that with your friends. For those who don't know me, my name's Steve Clark, so I'm the business pastor here at Life, which is a unique role in terms of churches. So what does that mean? A big part of what I'm doing is organizing these kind of events. So Business 101, our session downstairs tonight, and that's really designed to really value business, what we do every day. Thank God he's made you an accountant or a builder, a plumber. It's awesome that you're an entrepreneur. It's valuing what we do every day. And these sessions are designed to inspire us in our calling within business and value that. And then there's the connecting side. So our small groups and the opportunity to connect people with people and mentor each other. And so our business breakfasts are designed to do that. And then at the smaller level, there's people helping people. So the mentoring piece. So having coffees with each other, connecting each other, referring business to each other, just a church helping people in a business context. So a big part of my role is to help facilitate all that and bring that together. And ultimately with a view to releasing finance into the kingdom. So as a church, we're looking to own businesses and value the skill set that we have together and see how could we collaborate to release finance into the kingdom, to release $20 million into all of our community initiatives, which is part of the big vision. So I'm not going to stand too much longer in the way of Brent Gibson, our presenter tonight. I've got a bit of background on Brent, and you'll understand why he's presenting tonight. He's got significant experience in the topic and in the area. So Brent works for the New Zealand Super Fund as their head of corporate strategy. The New Zealand Super Fund manages $33 billion on behalf of the government and us. I'm certainly hoping he's going to get a reward on it for my retirement. I'm sure you do too. It's the second time Brent's worked for the fund, having previously worked as the head of internal audit for the fund. He's also worked in telecoms, funds management in the UK, and in banking, broadcasting, and not-for-profits in New Zealand. He's had a number of different roles in these industries, including strategic planning, business improvement, risk management, corporate governance, and internal audit. Brent and his wife have been at Life for 20 years, which is a fabulous stint, and both worked on staff at different times. So knows the inner workings of Life. They run the welcome team up at North, or one of the welcome teams up at North, and Brent is part of our Business Life Investment Fund Advisory Group. So this is a team that meets monthly, and they identify opportunities and assess those as to a potential for Life investing in those. Other than that, he's a general all-round good guy. So can we welcome him?
Excellent. Well, great to be here tonight. It was interesting seeing the show of hands, and Steve, it'll be interesting when we do the next session. There didn't seem to be a lot of returns after your session last time, so let's see if we can have a better return next time, you know, just kind of putting a bit of pressure on there. Thanks very much, Steve, for the introduction. Since I have the mic, I'd certainly like to take initial opportunity just to really give honour to Steve for the awesome role that he does, and it's been a part-time role to date. And we've got Josh here as well. And I mean, so there's a number of people. I was involved in Life business in the early days with Mark Butler. So it's awesome kind of years on seeing how it's developed and grown and seeing all of you fine folk kind of really hooked in and getting into it. But yeah, I'd really like if we can just really honour Steve for the awesome role that he does. strategy and business planning. Now, we'll have a number of people here, of course, small business, could be a number of corporate people. My background's very much in the corporate game, as Steve mentioned, both in New Zealand and in the UK. I've typically worked for reasonably large companies. The one I'm with at the moment, quite small in the overall scale, 130-odd staff, but we are managing $33 billion, so reasonable amount of responsibility even for that small staff. But, of course, for those corporates, planning is a key thing. It's part and parcel of those businesses. And that's really what we want to touch on tonight. It doesn't actually matter how big your business is or how long it's running. It's just appreciating, well, okay, what's this planning thing all about? And, okay, everybody says it's good to have a plan and then, you know, plan your work and then work your plan type thing. But it's really coming back to what are some of the key things that we want to keep in mind. Just another little show of hands. How many people were here a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Paul talked at Vision Sunday? Oh, brilliant. Awesome. Well, Pastor Paul was really very much talking planning. Now, that was kind of the tail end of a big process that had gone before that when we hit Vision Sunday, because it was a case of, you know, Pastor Paul working with a leadership team and the different groups and looking at, well, okay, connecting back to what our mission is, what are we going to be looking forward and doing? So you're all there, which is fantastic. I don't need to encourage you to go listen to the podcast. But a couple of key things Pastor Paul pulled out was very much, what is the mission? What are we actually here to do? But the other thing was, where have we come from? He painted briefly a bit of a picture as to, well, where did we start? How have we progressed? But the other thing then is looking at, well, okay, where are we going from here? You know, what are the things that we're really going to prioritize over the next 12 months? It was quite awesome seeing the number of things that are kind of on the agenda, particularly on the church front. I've listened to the podcast a couple of times, and I'd really encourage you to kind of go back and just see where he's looking at helping us head towards. I think a couple of interesting points was, you know, the past is part of how we've got here. But one of the key things is that the past doesn't dictate our future. So it's really important to appreciate, hey, look, the past is important. I came from very humble backgrounds, and for initial part of my working career, I kind of downplayed that a lot. Probably wasn't really that comfortable talking about it, thinking about it, relating to it. But it's actually important to understand, okay, what helped me get to where I'm at, whether it's a good place or not such a good place. But it's also realizing, hey, that past doesn't dictate where I get to tomorrow. I think the other key point Pastor Paul talked about is understanding that today is really the critical point for your tomorrow. You know, the decisions you make tonight, whether it's something that you pick up here or it's something you pick up when we're down in the auditorium later, it's really just what is that key nugget that really you feel like God's really dropped in your heart now to do something with now. So I'd really just encourage you, you know, whether it's from this session or later, just really be open to what is that point that you want to do something with. Had an interesting situation a couple of weeks ago. We were on holiday up north camping, and because we were staying at dock sites, I didn't have my mobile on much, wasn't much reception, why bother? So I wasn't really picking up the emails. Did turn on my mobile at one point, and it came up immediately with a message saying, your phone hasn't been synced with your server for a while, we're going to wipe everything on your phone. Now, I tend to use my phone quite heavily for note-taking, including messages, and I had quite a number of documents on there. Now, of course, all of you around here would be using the cloud, so you're syncing with the cloud every 30 seconds. I don't tend to use the cloud. I do actually do backups periodically. The reality was, within a very short space of time, I lost everything on the phone. I think the key message for me, though, was I've got all these messages that I'm taking notes about. It's a case of, when was the last time I went back and actually looked at those details? When was the last time I actually did something with what was on there? Having all that information sitting there, to be honest, is not actually that useful. What really matters is, what am I going to pick up today and do something with? So I guess it was a good lesson for me, even if that was the only lesson out of it. Steve mentioned about the things on the website, and I will be touching on a couple of things as we go, but Steve introduced us to Brian's lawn mowing, which was a great example, and he used a couple of other ones in there. And the business improvement framework. So Steve talked us through three different planning frameworks, and definitely worth having a look at those. Well, tonight we're basically just going to have a chat on the strategy piece, and we'll touch on some of those other elements as we talk through the process. But just a bit of a question. You might have seen this picture in other presentations you've been to. Anybody like to hazard a guess about what this picture is trying to tell us about what our theme might be for tonight? Yeah? Excellent. Yep. That's probably largely it. Anybody have a one line or one word that might summarize that? That's a big word. I only picked little ones. But that's basically it. Focus, yeah. Or another one is alignment. So they're all very much along the same lines. So that's basically what we're wanting to talk about tonight. A bit of an interesting comment here. Misalignment is the ultimate time and resource waster. Now, you could be sitting here with a small business and you say, well, hang on, I'm a one-man band, you know. What's alignment mean for me? All I need to do is organise myself, even with my multiple personalities. It's not that hard, you know. In my case, it's a little more difficult. I've got a few more of them. But it's not just about trying to make sure all those different people are heading in the same direction. It's really taking a step back and saying, well, am I in alignment with what it is that I'm expecting from this business longer term? So if your business, just talking to this lady in the front row, if you're looking at building a business on investment, property investment, or if you're a part of a business that's property management, whatever your business is, it's about sitting back and saying, well, hang on, what am I aiming towards? Whether I'm talking about 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, what is that longer-term perspective that I'm aiming at? So the alignment's pretty important for a couple of points, and I'll reiterate this as I go. You know, are we aligned to what our long-term purpose is? And then are we being careful to communicate that down to the people that are going to be working with me? Now, they may not be staff. You know, it may be a case of your business is such that you rely a lot on contractors, or you have a variety of different people who are providing services to you. Do they understand what it is that you're actually aiming to hit? And are their activities aligned with that as well? So there's a key part of communication in any strategy process. But there's no point communicating unless you've got a clear view as to what it is that you're wanting to hit and where you're wanting to head. So be very clear initially about what that mission is. It's interesting, a Harvard Business Review finding was that even in high-performing companies with clearly articulated public strategies, in other words, they're very clear about what their strategy is, only 29% of their employees can correctly identify their company's strategy. And this is when they're giving a multi-choice. So out of six choices. So 7 of the 10 staff didn't actually know where the company was heading. That creates a bit of a problem, really. The reality is most of us, particularly in office environments, everybody seems to be very busy. The question is, are they very busy doing the right things? And I think for me personally, you know, the number of emails I get every day, it's incredibly easy to get diverted off to this, that, and the other thing. And particularly when everything looks urgent, and the reality is we all know it's not necessarily urgent. It's that whole balance of the urgent and the important. One of the biggest filters on that is, does this actually help me move towards the objective that I have longer term? So it's planning is such a key part. I had a chat with my boss last week. I do have a chat more often than that. But she's on a separate floor now. But she was very much driving down a particular path with something that, to be honest, I didn't think was actually that important. And it's a case of, well, okay, I need to kind of get on the same page. Either I'm missing something here and this is something that she sees as really important to get us to where we want to go, or no, she's kind of maybe giving it a little bit more priority than it needs to at the moment. And those are the kind of discussions and conversations you really need to be having on a regular basis if you have staff. And sometimes with yourself. It's the reality is we can all be very hectic doing the day-to-day stuff, and that's pretty important to have a business at all. But you need to be able to step back from that often enough and say, okay, is this actually getting me to the place that I really want to be? This is a serious business discussion, so of course I've got a serious business quote here. If you don't know where you want to go, then it doesn't matter which path you take. And of course, this is from Alice in Wonderland. I only use serious quotes. But it's very much saying, look, if you're going to be going somewhere, you've got to have a clear idea what that objective looks like. In fact, otherwise it doesn't really matter what your daily activities are. I mean, you can be busy every day of the week. Doesn't mean you're going to hit what you want to hit. So it's really keeping that in mind. If you've got any questions as we go, feel free to throw something at me or put up your hand. We certainly will have a question time at the end. So alignment. I think the key thing here is filtering decisions. And as I say, that example with my boss was just a classic recent one. It is something that I have to do quite regularly. Because of my role, I work a lot with the senior management team and with the board. So I do spend quite a bit of time kind of saying, well, okay, that kind of looks good, but how does that fit with the overall plan? And I kind of get the opportunity to do that. But I think it's important for each of us day to day to just be aware that if we're really wanting to move things forward in a different direction to where they're at the moment, we're going to have to keep pulling ourselves back from that daily activity and be prepared to do that. Just touching on a couple of things on the website again, and this is the Life Business website. Steve mentioned the podcast on there, but there's links to a bunch of other really good material there. And I'll be talking through a couple of business plan type things. But again, there's links through to a government business website, which has got some fantastic templates already sitting there. So I'm not going to come up with another template and say, hey, look, this is the Brent Gibson approach to business planning. There's some very, very good stuff on there. So I would just suggest if you're new to planning or new to business, definitely jump onto the Life Business site and just have a look through some of the links there. For example, this is straight off the government website. So when is business planning right for you? Well, you should always be thinking about where your business is going and how you're going to get there. And this particular website, I don't know if you can read that there, but business.gov.nz, as I say, has a number of great templates. So there's a detailed business plan there, which is something like 50-odd pages. And to be honest, a lot of you aren't really going to want to dive into that level of detail. But there's a simple 10-step one here. And that I've got a couple of pages that I've just pulled out on that. It talks about what is your business. Just be clear, clearly articulate what your business is. How would you describe it in a nutshell? And what your mission is. And then one of the other pages I've just pulled out, what are the internal things that could impact your business? What are the external elements? And it's got a lot more detail in there if you really want to dive into it. So this is a very quick strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats type assessment. They've got a much more detailed one sitting in behind there as well. But as I say, you can kind of slice and dice these elements as you need them. Strategic planning elements. I'm just going to touch a bit on kind of what we do at the fund. And the reason I showed you those previous templates is, you know, to be honest, the way we do it is probably going to be quite different to what you do. The kind of factors that we consider will be different. But you'll see a lot of very similar elements coming into play. One of the first things we do at the fund is tie ourselves back very carefully to what our mission is. Now, this is actually what the legislation says, the reason we were established back in 2003. So we're here to maximise the fund's return over the long term without undue risk. That's pretty well open to interpretation. As to reduce New Zealand's future tax burden. So we're kind of set up to, as Steve says, to help make sure you and I actually have a retirement income. With an ageing population, there's going to be a lot less people working at the point that some of us retire to actually support us in retirement. So the idea of the fund is actually we invest money, hopefully invest it really well, and that helps to fund the retirement cost in the long term. So it's very important for us to be very clear about, okay, what is that mission all about? Now, if we're talking about kind of what are the different things we could be considering as we do this plan, so the way it works in our firm, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I went to our board with our latest annual plan. And these are the types of things that we had gone through over the previous 3 months. So it wasn't, this wasn't creating a new structure for us. This is the same structure we've been running with now for quite a few years. I'm just going to touch on a few elements here. We've got our mission on the far left-hand side there. What we're talking about tonight really is, well, what are these objectives and activities? You know, what is this strategic planning piece? Well, we have a number of feed-ins. So you can see up on the top there, I've got a long and medium-term target states, and you're saying, well, what are those, you know? That basically is, what do you want to be doing in 2 or 3 years' time? For most of your business, it's a case of being very clear about, well, hang on, why am I in business? Well, to pay the bills. Okay, that might work, but could you crystallize it a little bit clearer? What do you really want this thing to look like? If you're Brian's lawn mowing and you've got one mower, it's a case of, well, okay, what do you, and that allows you to kind of pay today's bills but not have much left over. What do you think the next step for that business really is going to look like? And just paint it 2 years out, paint it 1 year out if it's too hard to go further than that. What this was all about was we've worked with the board over a number of years and painted a 5-year picture. So that for us is a long-term fund. That's our medium-term plan. And that might sound like a long-term plan. But we also, 3 years ago, sat down with the board and said, look, what do we think this organisation should look like in greater than 10 years, say 10 to 20 years' time? Now, these are very broad statements. This is really saying, what should our relationship with the government look like? What should our relationship with other Crown financial entities look like? What should our staff look like in terms of, are they going to be specialists or are they going to be generalists? What should our relationship with overseas parties look like? So this was us really having an attempt on a page, and that's for us, a fund managing $33 billion. We're saying we have one page that is our medium-term state. We have one page which is our long-term state. We try to avoid getting overly complicated and detailed about this. It's really not that helpful when you're trying to use it as a reference point. But what we're saying is each time we do a plan, we come back and look at our mission, we come back and have a look at our medium and our long-term state. And that's where we start from when we're thinking about, heck, we've got all these great ideas. Here's a dozen things we should be doing in the next 12 months. And it's a case of, seriously? That'd be interesting and could be fun, but is it really going to move us towards any of those medium and longer-term plans we've got? So we always come back to kind of that those key elements. And we've got a little bit there called risks and landscape issues. Now, I might have a chat to Steve about whether we do a 101 on risk. I'm just not sure whether we'd get anyone to come along to it. But, yeah, exactly. Steve and I are both from a risk background, so we could kind of keep each other entertained. But the interesting thing, risk management does not sound like a particularly interesting topic. The key with it, though, is all it is saying, well, we've got these objectives we want to achieve. You know, we've got these 12-month goals that we want to hit. What could actually stop you hitting that? When you look around in your organisation, outside your organisation, what kind of factors could really knock you off track? And they might only knock you off track for a short time, or they could really take you out and avoid you hitting those goals. And risk management is all about thinking about those kind of things and then, where it's appropriate, planning so that they don't take place or reducing the likelihood or the impact that they're really going to have a massive impact on your business. So risk management is actually a key part of our strategic planning, and I work quite closely with our risk guy to make sure we've given that some thought. And just on the right-hand side there, other key things that feed into our planning process. We've obviously got our people and our culture. I mean, we could do a whole session actually on culture. We've been on a journey for a number of years now, really trying to build the culture of the organisation. So that's about how people kind of relate to each other at all different levels of the organisation. We want to have very robust discussions. You know, we're investing a lot of money. We've got to be prepared to challenge each other about whether those investment ideas really are good ideas, or, you know, are they based on some decent research and enough research. So we want to have very robust discussions. But we want to have them respectful. You know, we want to have it so that people are actually still wanting to be in the same room with each other. So the culture journeys are something you could spend a lot of time on as well. And various other pieces down there as well. Maybe I'll just stop there for a moment and just say, anybody have any general questions on the type of things that we're feeding into that planning process? I'm the old timer, so yeah. But I am, you know, 50. So, yeah, that's a very good question. 130 odd staff. Probably the average age would be early 30s. So it's quite a young group. A number of PhDs sitting in there, so they tend to be very smart people as well. But yeah, it's an interesting group to work with. In terms of what I'm doing, yeah. Well, in terms of I basically see God working with me every day. So the key for me is, God, I need your wisdom to be able to. I'm in a fantastic position where I can work with these guys, challenge them, influence them. So it's about, well, God, how do I kind of bring the godly influence and impact into these things? I guess the great thing working for an organisation like this is. It's community based, so it's a case of, yeah, I really value kind of what it's here to do. And to be honest, that's why most of the staff are there. To be honest, they can earn a lot more overseas, and most of them did. They were returning Kiwis. We tend to bring a lot of staff back from the UK or elsewhere. But most of them are bought into the whole community base of, hang on, we're here for all New Zealanders. To be honest, that's the driving factor for us being there. So that's a fantastic starting point. But for me personally, it's a case of, well, hang on, I'm at this place kind of 5 days a week minimum and a lot of thinking space outside of just the 9 to 5. So, you know, I really want to see God kind of leading and guiding me with his spirit in every activity that I do. So great question. But because I think there's a risk otherwise where it's a case of, well, you know, that's work. This is church. And, yeah, I work on a welcome team and I work with Bliff. And, yeah, don't mix that with that. Okay, so hang on, you know, he's given me certain skills and abilities. He's certainly opened doors that I wouldn't be opening myself. So how do I kind of use that kind of use of spirit in me to really make an impact, a godly impact in that? And a lot of that, I guess the challenge for me in a lot more recent times has been the one-to-one relationships as well and really praying for the opportunities to really share with people kind of in those one-to-one times. So, yeah, it's just awesome. Kind of being prepared to be used and seeing the opportunities open up. Josh. Yep. 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 Great question, Josh. And I think that's kind of where we need to back up. So I've got a lot of components sitting in here, and you might say, well, actually, all I need is a 12-month plan. What do I want to get? Really, and to be honest, when we come down to the nuts and bolts of it, for our business as well, it's a case of saying, do we want to do anything different to what we're doing today? Do we want to be changing something for the future? And so that's really our starting point. So kind of irrespective of what size your business is, to be honest, you might be happy kind of running your business the way it is, and if you were in exactly the same position in 12 months' time, no issue, in which case you can paint your picture of what your plan is, whatever you see today as being. If you're really wanting to take something, if you're wanting to do something different for the future, it's a case of being very realistic about the goal. And this is the biggest challenge I have with our guys as well. We're often overly ambitious. You know, we kind of say, and I mean, we've got some activities that are multi-year, and it's a case of, oh, we can get that done in this year. And it's a case of, I say, seriously, guys, you know, there's a huge amount involved in that. And I think particularly for small business people where you're busy running on so many fronts, you're a jack of all trades and trying to do a lot of things. You don't necessarily have the specialized help on some areas as well. You're busy trying to do a bit of that and a bit of this and a bit of the other thing. You've got to be quite realistic about where you're setting those plans because you'll frustrate yourself very, very quickly if you set something that's completely unrealistic. So you would have all heard about, you know, setting smart goals. You know, it is about setting something that is a stretch, but don't make it ridiculous. You know, you've got to make it in a time frame that you can actually see some improvements. I wouldn't make a 5-year plan. To be honest, it'll be meaningless for you unless you're going to back that up then and say, so what's 12 months going to look like out of that 5-year plan? Great to have a longer term plan because it could be, you know, way out there. It could be a real big audacious goal, but let's be a little bit more realistic and pragmatic and say, look, what do we want to be looking at in 12 months and what are those steps going to be? And then I'd suggest on a monthly basis, actually take stock and say, well, okay, there were some things that we needed to do to kind of move towards that 12-month plan. Have we managed to do it or no, it's been absolutely manic and we're still chasing our tails? Fine. Do we need some other assistance? Do we need to sit down with someone and just say, well, how do we create the space to be able to do this? Is that goal still realistic? Now, we basically go to our directors and say, this is what we're going to commit to. And I say to the guys, just be very careful about what you're committing to because you can't go back on it. Not necessarily the same in your situations. I wouldn't overemphasize kind of you've got to be very careful about setting something that's realistic, something that matters to you. You know, you've got to be careful that the goal actually matters as well. I'll just briefly, so we've kind of touched on this and Josh's great point. You know, we're saying, well, what are the activities that we're going to do in the next 12 months? And really the next two boxes are saying, why on earth are we doing them? You know, how do they tie up to this medium, this longer term plan? And I think it's you've got to be very careful to make sure you've got that that connection happening. This is actually something I picked up without having seen this quote a few years ago. In many cases, strategy is more a matter of deciding what you aren't going to do than deciding what you are going to do. And I think this is pretty important for a business as well. You can be running around doing what everybody else is doing in the same business. And it's a case of, well, is that actually what you should be doing? Sometimes it's a case of just focusing and deciding what it is that you're going to be really focusing your time and effort on. And again, for us as a business, as I say, we could have activity, you know, a different activity for every person in the organization. That's actually not going to help us. And in many cases, it's a case of saying, hey, we're not going to do those things. They sound like great ideas. Maybe they're a great idea for some time in the future. But for this period, we're going to focus on these few things. And we've been very careful over the last few years to get a lot more focused on the number of activities we have. And I'd say, particularly for a small business, keep it simple. Keep the number of activities down and manageable because it's very easy to try to do too much. You know, I want to do this on the finance side and I want to do this on the, you know, on the mowing side and, you know, have 16 different things running at once and you just run yourself completely ragged. Just a couple of other things. We had Richard and Andrew recently talking about buying and selling a business. And again, it's a bit of a plug for the website. Because they had a number of points actually on there, and they were talking about buying and selling a business. But for you, when you're thinking about your planning, there's some good points on there maybe to take forward. So if you're thinking about, well, okay, if I'm thinking about a goal for the next 12 months, maybe the question is, well, are you the business? Is that where you want to be in 12 months' time? Is that where you want to be in 3 years' time? You know, if you – and Andrew was basically looking at it in the context of if you sell your business but you're not in it, what value does it have? So, you know, it's just keeping in mind, well, when you're thinking about trying to develop your business to the next level, what's your role in that business going to look like? And how does the business start to have value without you being the business? So there's some very good points in there. Culture I touched on briefly, but skills. You know, what skills do you have in your business at the moment, whether it's your skills? You know, do you need to be thinking about, well, okay, how do I upskill on something? Where is it that I need a bit of development help? Or is it the staff? You know, are there some staff that really you need to be thinking about how you can get some training and capability in there to really help your business move forward? Reputation. This is a good one in terms of, well, what's the reputation of your competitors? What do you think the reputation of your firm is? Does that matter? You know, the fact that your reputation is not as good as theirs, maybe your reputation is significantly better. What, if anything, does that tell you about what you might want to be putting on your planning for the next 12 months? Customers. Do you have one major customer who's kind of supplying, you know, 90% of your sales? Do you see that as an issue? Is that one of those risks that we're talking about? Maybe risks to your business rather than to your plan. But what, if anything, do you think you want to be doing about that in the next 12 to 24 months? And then opportunities. Again, Andrew was talking about this. Well, you know, when you're selling a business, you can sell it with the case of, hey, look, there's great opportunities down here and down here that we just haven't been able to get our heads around and spend the time on. Well, maybe if you stopped now and thought about, well, there's all those opportunities, which one or two for the longer term might you be wanting to really focus your efforts and your time and resources on? So some great, as I say, worth going back over those the slides that are online and just doing a quick run through those and saying, hey, when I'm thinking about planning ahead, these things might, you know, give me a few thoughts about where I could put my focus. This is something, when we talk about planning, so I've touched on the first few boxes there, but one of the important things I've found when you're talking to people about goals is just what does success look like? It's all very well talking about an activity that you're going to put on your plan. But sometimes if you're a bit vague about what success looks like, you come 12 months later and it's a case of, well, did we get there? And it's a case of, well, I'm not sure, actually. And this has certainly been an issue in the corporate game, where sometimes your goals can be a little on the woolly side, and it's a case of, well, yeah, it's pretty clear what success is, and it's a case of, well, anybody else looking at that would probably really struggle to see what you're talking about. So when you're kind of coming up with what are the one or two or three key activities you're going to focus on in the next 12 months, think very carefully about, okay, if I'm describing this to somebody, how would I describe success? It's not a series of activities. It's a case of, well, what does my measurement base look like? How do I measure success? If you can't measure and monitor your goals, chances are your employees will never achieve them and you won't know the difference. And that's kind of, that was a great little quote actually, managing for dummies. So a couple of things, you know, these are pretty basic things, you know, what, why, when, and who. You know, what are you going to be doing? Why are you going to be doing it? That's hooking back to that mission and that medium and longer term plan. When are you going to do it by? Is this a 1 year type goal or a 3 or a 5 year? Who's going to be involved in that? And the other point I just mentioned, which is how are you going to know what success looks like? How are you going to know you've got there? And if you don't get there in 12 months and it winds up being 18 months, that's not necessarily going to be the end of the world. The trick is you've actually set an objective and you've focused effort and towards achieving it. Resources needed and assumptions. Assumptions are pretty important. Probably most of you have done any number of forecasts for your business. And to be honest, if you give me an Excel spreadsheet, I could do you an hourly forecast out for 50 years and it would be worth absolutely nothing. Excel is a fantastic tool and, to be honest, it can be absolutely useless for doing anything really useful. The real trick with your planning is thinking about what those assumptions are. What is underlying kind of your projections for your business going forward? Now, I was talking earlier about, well, if your business is doing the same in a year's time as it is now, is that, you know, you might be quite happy with that. It's a case of, well, that's fine. But again, what assumptions are you basing that kind of estimate on? You know, you're assuming the business is going to continue the way it is. So what's not going to change? So you're expecting that your competitors aren't going to change. You're expecting that your sales levels are going to be the same. Your expenses are going to be the same. So even for a flat line, you have to make a certain number of assumptions in there. And those are the things that ultimately could be knocking you off the track. If you're talking about, well, we want to be growing by 20% in the next 12 months, well, based on what? There's nothing wrong with having those kind of goals and those objectives. As we've said, your plan is going to set out a number of things you're going to do differently to see that growth. But be very careful about what those assumptions are and just be prepared to test them to say, well, are these assumptions realistic? How am I going to try and make sure that what I'm assuming here is in fact the way it works? In my personal case, it's the case of, well, if I need to be bringing my expenses down, well, maybe I need to be looking at them once in a while rather than just assuming, you know, hey, yeah, I manage my costs well. But, you know, if you're wanting to reduce your costs by a certain percentage to enable you to go up to the next level or you're wanting to maintain them the same, well, what kind of things are going to need to change to make that happen? And then how are you going to be looking at those costs to actually to monitor progress along the way? So the assumptions, we have to do five-year financial projections to feed into the Treasury's budget. So there's a number of assumptions that underlie that. And, of course, our fund, you know, $33 billion, and, I mean, 80% of it's in basically in shares and fixed income, a range of very interesting elements. But, of course, the reality is those elements go up and down and sideways almost every other day. We can move by $500 million in a day. But we still have to make these long-term assumptions. to underlie our financial forecast. We know we're going to move around, but what assumptions are we reasonably confident about maintaining that are going to project, you know, mean that our revenue projections and our expense projections are going to be realistic? And just a little point in terms of accountants. We've probably got a number of accountants here. I am actually an accountant by trade. But I think the key thing here is talking to your accountant. What are your financial reports actually telling you about your business? And ideally, be able to spend a little bit of time talking to your accountant and saying to your accountant, what is my financial information telling me about my business? To be honest, if your accountant is only doing your end-of-year tax return, I'd suggest you probably either change accountants or you just need to be prepared to ask them some questions. I certainly know accountants I'm dealing with, they're very keen to help work with businesses. Often they're just not asked the question. You do need to find the right accountant to do that. But I think it's really important, you know, in days gone by, it's a case of, you know, you give your information to your accountant, does your tax return, works out your provisional tax, job done. That's actually not that helpful. You know, I've worked with a number of small business people, and it's a case of, well, you know, they're working every hour of the day, and they're doing good work, quality work. And they seem to have, you know, demand left, right, and centre. There is something fundamentally not working here. And you really need to be able to work with an accountant and say, well, okay, we've got all these things that we're doing well, doing all the hard work, got a great product or a service, awesome number of customers, you know, we just can't keep up with the orders. But the bottom line's not happening. Okay, something's not working. Maybe something as simple as, look, your pricing's just way too low. Yes, you're going to lose customers. But if you have got a viable business, you'll be able to take that up a level and still see that you have enough customers to make this work. So I really would make a plug for spending a bit of time with your accountants and challenging them to say, what's this information telling me about what I do, how I do it, how I price it? At the end of the day, that's their business. So I'd really say take the time and try to sound them out on those things. The resources needed, that's probably a little bit obvious, but if you're going to set your goal for your business to be, you know, that much further up in 12 months' time, what's that going to require from you? Is it going to need more equipment? What are the other inputs that it's going to need? And just, you know, being realistic in terms of, yeah, okay, we can get those things on tap or find alternative ways to get those on tap to be able to move this thing forward. So planning means alignment. So it's really alignment with your long-term goals, whether they're only 12 months, 5 years, 10 years in our case. But it also means then communicating that down to the people that are working with you and for you day to day. But the other key thing, I'll probably leave you with this quote, is a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. You know, the problem with planning is that it looks like, oh, yawn, you know, let's create another PowerPoint and stick it in the drawer. That's not a plan. You know, to be honest, a plan is something that you can reference regularly. It makes sense to you, which is why I say keep it simple and keep it so that it makes sense to you. You can the 1 year or the 3 year plan resonates with you. But basically just get on and do it and then be prepared to come back and hold yourself accountable to it on a regular basis. Questions on planning, and particularly from a small business perspective, as Josh mentioned, I'm sure there's a lot of small business owners here. So maybe your experience. Yeah. Good question. So I think, you know, I'd be looking at kind of look at a 1 year plan in terms of, because you've got to make it kind of relevant. It's a case of if you start to make it too long term, particularly when you're starting a business, it can be quite hard, particularly when you're learning about what the business is all about. You want to be careful not to set your plan too far out. So what would you see your business looking like in 12 months' time? And ideally, if you know anybody in that particular business as well, it's a case of there's a number of other people in life particularly that are in similar businesses. But ideally, if you kind of get a bit of a feel for kind of what that kind of business could look like, you know, what could it look like in kind of a year or in 3 years? where do you see this business kind of going? Thank you. Other questions? I like that idea. I'd support that one every day of the week, yeah. I've just been camping for the weekend. That was all to get strategy ideas. No. That's an excellent question. And I think, again, particularly if you're operating in a small environment, it's a case of, well, hang on, how do you get kind of fresh ideas? I just spent Friday away, actually, with a team looking specifically at that, where we were looking at coming up with new ideas using design thinking, which is just another approach. I would certainly say suggest getting around people, and that's where kind of life business is fantastic in terms of being able to build those networks. But, you know, almost get together with two or three other people that you can kind of relate to. And another key thing that we've put a lot of focus on in the fund is kind of getting the diverse thinking. The reality is often we'll talk to people and share with people that are kind of similar to us. You know, I can kind of relate to Steve very easily because we're kind of from a similar background, got similar personalities. That doesn't necessarily challenge me to think outside the box. So it's sometimes very helpful to get people that you wouldn't necessarily mix with. So, I mean, when I was on staff in church, I was kind of doing a dual role with life business and with production. But to be honest, for me, it'd be a case of me working with somebody from arts. Now, it's a case of, I'm sure there's arts people here, but it's a case of they're a slightly different personality, kind of from someone who's from an audit and a risk management background. But that's an ideal kind of mix of skills and experience and diversity. Cultural diversity is fantastic. You know, people come with a different reference point. So when you're talking about kind of specifics for your business type, I spend a lot of time on Google. But again, if you can buddy up kind of through the business breakfast or through the networking things we do, that's another great way of kind of getting the business-related input. But I'd certainly also encourage trying to get that diversity and connecting with different people as well. We found that really helpful at the fund. Excellent, excellent question. And maybe just to step back in terms of, so, you know, I went to the board with a couple of weeks ago with this plan. That was based on kind of 4 months kind of work from a variety of people. So we've got a team of 130. There's about 15 at my level. And they're from a range of different disciplines. You know, a lot of them are very smart people, focus purely on investment and particular investment spaces. Then we've got other people that are kind of IT focused. We've got other people that are operational, so kind of back office. We've got legal and tax. So we've got all the different disciplines. And what we do is we talk to each of them about what they're seeing in their market because they're dealing with their market day in, day out. Now, again, with a small business, it's a case of, well, hang on, I'm having to do all that. So it is very important to try and get a picture for, well, this is my business. What's happening in my business? What kind of regulations are coming in that could create an opportunity for me? Just a bit of a personal example, we were looking at a rental and, you know, I hadn't really spent a lot of time looking at the rental market, but it's a case of, you know, looking for testing for P. And it's a case of, well, new regulations came in kind of 2 years ago in the last couple of years. And that's given rise to a whole new form of business out there I wasn't aware of until I started walking down this track. But yeah, regulation kind of opens opportunities, can open threats as well. But it's a good point in terms of, okay, where can I get that kind of information from? A lot of the government business websites are actually ideal points of reference for whatever business line you're looking at. They actually provide quite a lot of information that can kind of point you in different perspectives. But to pick up your point in terms of, well, hang on, what about this, the research? As I say, in our case, we start off with the people that are closest to the action and spend time talking to them. Might be talking to that accountant again and saying, what are you seeing? You know, this is my business. What are you seeing from your other clients and from your awareness of the industry as well? So great if you can kind of use those inputs. Because otherwise you're sitting down with a blank sheet of paper and saying, right, I need to come up with a plan. What's that going to look like? Very, very hard to do that without having spent a little bit of time looking at what that environment is. Any other points? Brilliant. Thank you very much. I'll hand you back to Steve and look forward to the session tonight with Murray. I heard Murray several years ago and it'd be an awesome, awesome time with him. Thanks, Steve.
Fantastic, Brent. We do have time, so I know there's always people who maybe don't feel like asking a question out loud, so I'm sure Brent will take those in the time before we head down. And I know for my 2 cents worth in terms of the planning that I've involved and the people who come and see me as part of Life Business, for me, I'm often boiling planning down to is where do I want to go and how do I want to get there? And so for me, it's about breaking down those big things into littler tasks. So what is the phone call I have to make tomorrow? And how's that part of the bigger plan? And then I've often had the conversation of I've helped people with their business plans, and that's been key for them getting funding from the bank. So the quality of the plan for them getting funding is different than if they're just it's just themselves and they're wanting to structure their thinking. Other people, if they're wanting to get investors and have people depart from their cash, the quality of that business plan is quite different than if it's just for me to structure my thinking. So getting it down and not polishing it so it's so beautiful for the bank, it's a different exercise, but it's so important that you break that down for your own structure. So, yeah, just for my 2 cents worth when I'm helping people, it's sort of like, okay, well, what is the purpose? Is it for yourself or are you looking for investors or the bank as to how much, you know, polishing that you want to put into it? Awesome. I just reiterate, this material, it depends how long we get in terms of the team putting it together to go up onto the website. So give us a week maybe if you're looking for the slides and the audio to listen to it in the drive in the car or to download that. One thing, I just go back to just to remind you of these two slides here. So the Business 101 sessions are designed to be practical tools and tips and takeaways. So Brent's quite rightly pointed, there's so much material out there that there's no point in us reinventing the wheel. So go to that website there, and it's got some templates that it forces you to think, oh, I don't know the answer to that. I better go and find out. And it guides you through. So some really, really good material there to help you with your planning.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast from Life. If you have questions or want to contact someone about this message, visit lifenz.org.